IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport. Hello and welcome back to IL Women Playing Catch Up Podcast, powered by Unleashed Overnight. I'm Hallie Griggs, Alyssa Murray-Tometi, Rachel DiCecco. We are coming out of an exciting second round of women's NCAA Division I action. Our women's D2 and D3 Final Four has been announced. Let's just hop right in. Talking about this weekend's action in the D1 ranks, Alyssa, we saw some big-time performances in the second round. Let's just talk about what happened out west in the Midwest. Stanford and Denver faced off on Friday. Northwestern took on the winner, Denver, and the Skein train kept on rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I think Skein train is really, she's coming out hard. She's doing a great job, and I mean, just proving that she's going to be really hard to stop. Whoever eventually sees her, whether it be this weekend or in the Final Four, or national championship, these teams are really going to have to dial in how they're going to defend her, because if you can't stop her, you cannot stop Northwestern. So until teams figure that out, I think Northwestern is just going to be, continuing to roll, and she's a big spark for them. So, as soon as she gets going, it just opens up everyone else, like Kuykendall and Lauren Gilbert and all of those players. Just, life gets a lot more easy for them once Skein gets going.
Izzy Skein had 8 goals, 3 assists. Erin Kuykendall, you mentioned, she had 6 assists. It's crazy that, we'll continue this theme, Rachel, but it's almost crazy. Like, if you just score a hat trick these days, back in the good old days when a hat trick was a big deal, now seemingly it's like you score a hat trick, you had a quiet day if you're one of these big players. Who was another player this weekend that had an awesome offensive outing that you want to shout out?
I mean, Charlotte North. Yeah, you said it, 3 goals would be a great performance. She set a record for BC in the NCAA tournament, 8 goals, casual 8. And then she had 12 draw controls, which I think, as we get farther and farther along in the tournament and these teams get closer and closer, the draw is going to be, I think, a big deciding factor. And she, just like Alyssa said with Izzy, these star players are just upping their game as we sort of move along in the tournament. So, I mean, she was incredible. I think she's got BC playing their best lacrosse of the season.
It's Charlotte North, Izzy Skein. If they have 2 or 3 goals, you're like, ooh, what happened? What a rough day. I'll take it up to the Carrier Dome. I thought House Tyrell, they put out 17 points. Coming from, if I were Emma and Megan Tyrell's parents, I wouldn't be able to wipe the smile off my face. Watching your 2 daughters play alongside one another on the same team in an NCAA tournament has to be a special experience. Watching them absolutely dominate, I'm smiling thinking about it. Megan Tyrell, 10 points. Little sister Emma, 7 points. I have just loved seeing Emma Tyrell's ability to step up and fill the void since Megan Carney has gone down. I think it's made the biggest difference for Syracuse. This was a Loyola team, again, playing without Sam Fiedler, who was exceptional. She was sidelined with an Achilles injury. But this was a Loyola team that honestly played so different than Syracuse faced them the first time. Loyola came out, and they were chippy, and I say chippy in a good way. They were physical. They battled. The Tyrell's ability to weather the storm and get Syracuse firing on all cylinders was pretty remarkable to see. Alyssa, what do you have to say about, another big time performance out there? We have a few more to touch on. Who else jumped out of the stat sheet on Sunday?
Well, before we move on, I just want to give a shout out to Caitlin DeFleece, who was coaching.
Oh my gosh,
coaching,
right?
Injured. I guess my dad texted me saying she's playing hurt today. She had given birth to her son 8 days prior to, maybe even less, and then was on the sideline. So I, and you know, they everyone put out that big post about the UNC player who had a baby born the day before, and then he scored the first goal, which was awesome. But I'm like, we have to like blow it up that Caitlin is on the sideline right now. Like, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it, I mean, the timing worked out really, really well for her. Because I think her due date was even closer to the first round, and she had her baby early. But it's just like huge shout out to that. Because we all know how much she brings to the help out with the Syracuse defense. So big shout out to Caitlin.
I mean, I saw that they posted a picture that she had the baby, and I assume, okay, she's done for the year. I mean, my mouth is jaw. I mean, we've all given birth like 8 days. Like, I didn't even know where I was, my name. Like, I can't even fathom the like strength that takes.
I was still in bed and my mom was here helping. Yeah. It's like, I mean, talk about, I mean, we're literally, that was like the theme of the open of this podcast, big time performance. Is there a bigger performance that we saw out of the second round than Caitlin deeply?
Coaching her.
I mean, no,
maybe not. Should we just
She is playing
her?
Hurt.
Yeah.
She is playing hurt. She, I mean, talk about battling through injury. I, well, maybe on that trend, we saw an unfortunate injury to Lizzie Colton, who we'll talk about her and the rest of her sports on finalists later in the show. But Lizzie Colton doing Lizzie Colton things up until the minute her college career ended with a charge, which that's just so badass. I mean, obviously we wish her well and a speedy recovery, but Rachel, she was unbelievable. She was everywhere in Durham. I thought it might have been the best game I've ever seen her play, which is saying something. Lizzie Colton was making a statement on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think, one of the best games she's ever had. Unfortunately, like, you just absolutely hate to see how her sort of career didn't get to end on her terms. But yeah, I mean, she went out in the way that like Lizzie Colton would go out, like taking a charge, putting it all on the line for her team. And I hope this is not the last we've seen of Lizzie Colton.
No, we have to see more of Lizzie Colton. Another key performance we saw actually on the same field in the same game, Alyssa, Maddie Jenner did everything she could to get Duke back into the NCAA quarterfinals in a tournament that they haven't played in since 2016.
Yeah, you know, when talking about Charlotte North, that this is her first time in the NCAA tournament, I like hadn't even registered that because it's just, you know, our years are getting mixed up with COVID and everything. But I think so that's crazy to even think about. But, you know, Jenner, her performance on the draw is just unbelievable. She really can dictate the pace of a game. It's so different of a mentality when you score a goal and then you know that you can easily, or the chances of you getting the ball right back and it being make it take it is so huge for your confidence, for the way that you're playing. You give up a goal, it's like you can stop the run right there. So you give up a goal, you move on, stop the run, go get the ball and bring it down on our end. And that's just like, to have the confidence to rely on Maddie Jenner like that is just such a huge, you know, confidence booster.
It's that's definitely a key battle. I'm looking forward to seeing Maddie Jenner and Jill Girardi, who had 12 draw controls. We shouted out Izzy Skein and Aaron Coysendale. Girardi was on a tear from the center circle this weekend for Northwestern. Rachel, your good pal Kylie O'Miller was calling this game on Long Island. Little sister Taryn, just again,
I mean, having a day.
Point production, casual 12 points. Talk about it.
Casual. I mean, Kylie's so genuine and so authentic, and like to listen to her like calling, you know, trying to be, she's, you know, when you're announcing, you're unbiased, of course, but what a special moment for her that she hit 400 points. So she I believe is one of three Stony Brook alums to do that, Kylie, Allie Kennedy, and now Taryn. And like, I might have to fact check myself there, but I think that's right. But like, for her to be calling that play when Taryn did it, like Mr. and Mrs. O'Miller, who I also love, like what a special moment for them. And you love to see the athletes now that are just like ramping up for tournament time. I mean, Taryn, you know, I'm the first to admit, like I had Stony Brook getting upset by Drexel. So like definitely wrong there, because Drexel didn't lose to Rutgers, so it was wrong twice. But like, after watching them play this weekend, like, I'm going to eat a little crow and say I think I was wrong about them. And Taryn's having an incredible tournament so far.
It was after the game. I'm looking up that now. Taryn has 408 points. And, you know, she was told, hey, you moved into second place all time at Stony Brook scoring. You know, you're just behind your big sister, who's at 498. And Taryn's like, well, I don't think I'll catch her, but that's cool. I mean, maybe I think he's capable of 90 points in the next couple of weeks. Taryn, we talked about shot. One more. Yeah, go for it. We think you can do it.
May Madness is officially here, and the new Maverick EKG shoulder pads and chest protectors are in stock for all players. Get upgraded performance protection that meets the new Noxy safety standards. Shop the whole line at lax.com/EKG.
Taryn O'Miller and the Seawolves will square off against the Heels. Alyssa, Katie Hogue really stepped up, and JV came out and battled, which is a shocker to absolutely no one who's listening to this. They are always such a fierce competitor. They play physical. They play up to the competition always. She weathered the storm, led UNC with 6 points.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just when you can fall back on someone like Katie Hogue, it's like, oh, that's so, what a luxury to be able to fall back like that. And just, again, UNC's balance on their offense helps so much for them. There were times where JMU was trying to face guard Katie Hogue and Jamie Ortega. You know, they gave them everything they could, and they kept it as tight as they possibly could. But having a veteran leader like Katie Hogue be able to just help weather that storm and, you know, have such a high productivity. You know, she scored 2 goals on 3 shots and then 4 assists. Like, just the efficiency rate like that is just unbelievable. And to have someone who has the experience of what it takes to get back to the Final Four, what it's going to take to get to the national championship. You know, they've been so close. And, you know, we're talking about that 2019 BC versus UNC game where they had the game right at their fingertips and lost it. It's like, those are things that, you know, if you don't win, you're still learning. So it's like, you may have lost, but you learned. And so having someone like that know what that feeling was like, knowing what it's going to take, it's huge when it comes to these prior games. You know, I feel like losing in the first round, second round, or even the Elite Eight, it's like, oh my gosh, those losses might even hurt worse because you just don't even get to the Final Four. So it's like, knowing what it's going to take to get there is just a huge, huge value in experience.
It's I wrote about this in my column for Sunday's coverage, and I don't know if I could get my point across, so I'll try to explain the angle I was going for here. You know, North Carolina, yes, they're undefeated, but it hasn't been because they have not been challenged. And I think that's the most dangerous part about North Carolina. They're so battle tested, but their leaders, their veterans, when you have fifth year players like Katie Hogue leading your charge offensively, Taylor Marino anchoring the defense. They've had multiple one-goal games. 4 of their last 8 games have been decided by 5 goals or less. You know, you look at this team, and it's because of that leadership and that poise, and just like you said, that been there before, know how it feels, know we're not going to make the same mistake twice, mentality that I think makes North Carolina as dangerous as they are. Rachel, you said you picked the Dragons to upset Stony Brook. Moving into our next kind of quarterfinal preview here, do you think your now proves you wrong Stony Brook team can pull it off against North Carolina? How do you see this one going this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw JMU play a really physical game against UNC, which was pretty effective. And I think Stony Brook's a very physical team, so I think that they'll be challenging that way. I mean, UNC is just really good. I have them winning my whole bracket. So I don't think that Stony Brook, I mean, who knows? Honestly, they could upset, but I just think there's too many weapons for North Carolina. We've been saying that all year. But I don't think it's going to be, I think they're going to give them a good game. I think that, like, Stony Brook is playing really well. They are hungry. Like, they've been in the America East. They don't get any respect. People don't know how, they don't get to, like, see how good they are. And they've sort of been, like, released from their cage. And they're like, okay, let's go. Let's show the world. So I think mentality wise, they're like very well suited for an upset. I just don't know if, in terms of matchups, that they can kind of get past UNC.
It's definitely been a story for Stony Brook, I think, for years now. Like, they have always gotten, you know, you could argue that this team is much more well-deserving of a higher seed than the 8 seed in this tournament, but it always feels like they do just pull the matchup that they're so close to pull it off. You know, I like that. I think Stony Brook, just like you said, is playing their best lacrosse the season and is going to give North Carolina a better game than JMU, and JMU gave them a great game. So it's definitely going to be a challenge in Chapel Hill. Alyssa, let's head up to the Dome. Let's talk about the last time Florida and Syracuse played in the NCAA tournament. You were a part of that game that proves there is no love lost between these teams playing in the postseason and this game. I feel like on the field, sparks are going to be flying. Lacrosse Twitter, between alums, maybe sparks are going to fly. Let's talk about what's going to happen between Syracuse and Florida.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse and Florida have a long history, I guess, for a new program in Florida, or newer. You know, two postseason games to get to the Final Four and one in the Final Four. 2013 was up in the Dome. I remember that game. Sam Farrell was guarding me, and it was like so hot in the Dome, and we were both just like, oh my gosh, we may as well be playing this in Gainesville, because it was just a sticky, humid mess. And then the year prior was the game that everyone thinks about when you think postseason, Florida versus Syracuse, where we were lucky enough to have a huge comeback to make it to the national championship to then lose. But we won't talk about that part of the story. But it was, you know, one of the most wild games I've ever been a part of. Coming back like 7 goals in like 12, 13 minutes, going to double overtime. You know, it just goes back to the history between these two teams. I did a little homework before this, and, you know, in 11 games, 4 of those games have been determined in overtime, and then a total of 5 games determined by 1 goal. So, you know, I would expect it to be, yeah, a battle. And it's a little bit it's not a conference rivalry. It's not real, like, you know, but usually we see Syracuse and Florida play every year. We know Coach Gate loves to go down to the sunny Florida weather. So somehow the Orange always finds themselves down in Gainesville. But yeah, I can see it being real tight, especially with the way Resnick is playing. I mean, she is just unbelievable. So I think they're a really dangerous team for Syracuse. If they are not shooting well, then that's pretty dangerous, because even just watching Florida, like, they score goals in bunches and they dominate their conference. I think that they're probably, you know, a step above of everyone else in their conference. But, you know, just the fact that they can go on these massive runs is really, like, you know, something that Syracuse needs to watch out for. And all it takes is for 1 or 2 runs to give them the confidence, and then Syracuse is on their heels, and it's just, you know, you don't want to be in that situation, because Florida's going to be coming up hungry.
It's, you mentioned Sarah Resnick. She had a 75% save percentage in the second round. She had 9 saves, and then, you know, you look at her season total overall, 59% saves on the season. That's just remarkable. You look at Taylor Moreno and what she's been able to accomplish. I mean, you are going to have to shoot perfectly to beat a goalie like Taylor Moreno and Sarah Resnick. Right. You know, I think the two of them, that was why Florida and North Carolina was such a game earlier this year, because the two of them kept the game so in front of them. Sarah Resnick definitely going to be the X factor. Let's head out to the Midwest. Northwestern playing Duke. Again, a rivalry that we haven't seen in a little while, but, you know, talk about X factor. Rachel, Jill Girardi, and then, you know, you have Brennan Dwyer, who's a reigning All-American on the draw. The two of them pack a punch. Do you think that Maddie Jenner has what it takes to get the draw and put Duke in the best position possible against the Wildcats?
I think she does. I mean, I think she's playing really well. I think, you know, you mentioned it earlier, like, no one on this Duke team has been to the quarterfinals. Gabby Rosensweig's been in the tournament, but no one else has, right? So, I think that they do. I think it's like, if Maddie, you know, dominates Dwyer and Girardi, then it's like, defensively, you know, now what with Skane and Gilbert and Koikendahl. Sophia LaRose, like that save at the end of the Maryland game, like unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know we're all talking about Schaefer's save on the men's side, and we should be, because that was like a moment in time that is pretty insane. But I also think that was huge. I mean, Maryland like just hung in there and got so close to them. I think like, you know, they're playing really well. You know, I think Maddie can compete at the circle and do really well. I just think it's like after that, you know, what do you do to answer all the other Northwestern strengths?
Yeah, that's going to be, I mean, Northwestern is on a roll this year, and not too far away, the ladies in South Bend, they're shipping up to Boston. They're going to take on Boston College. I think that this game is going to be a battle. I think that everyone is talking about, understandably so, a lot of people are talking about North Carolina, Stony Brook, the rematch from earlier this year, Florida, Syracuse. I think that has the ability to be the game to watch in the quarterfinals. I think Boston College is going to get a game out of North Carolina. Bridget Dean, again, Alyssa's favorite. Big fan of Bridget Dean. She held her own. She's another goalie. You know, I talked about Marino and Resnick. Bridget Dean might be that third goalie in this tournament that just has the ability to spoil a game for a team. Jackie Wolak, her ability to step up when Casey Chomo was kind of held at bay. You know, I think that having played Boston College twice before this season and not their best too, you know, that first game 19-11, second game 18-12, I think it's going to be a much tighter game, and it is going to come down to kind of, Rachel, as you said, Charlotte North, her ability to not only put the ball in the back of the net but be an X factor on that draw control. Segueing perfectly into, on the North mentioned, the Towaratown finalists were announced. Charlotte North alongside Izzy Steen, Lizzie Colson, Jamie Ortega, and Taylor Marino. Let's start with our previous Towaratown winner. Rachel, what were your thoughts on these final five?
I think they got it, like, honestly perfect. Like, I wouldn't change a thing. I think they got all five, and I could give you, like, if you give me the name, I will explain to you why one of those five should win. Like, I think they all are very deserving. I think they really did an amazing job. It's an interesting discussion whether, like, did your team have to win the Towaratown for you to win the Towaratown or win the championship? But I think if UNC wins, that Marina will win the Towaratown. I think we're going to have back-to-back goalies. Because I think she is going to, you just said it, she is going to be the difference maker.
Yeah.
Like, Skane, Hogue, North, all incredible, like, should all be Towaratown winners. It's like the Kayla Trainer dilemma. Like, how does she not have a Towaratown, right? Like, she's, like, they are so deserving. But at the end of the day, in the championship game, when all these attackers are just, like, crushing it, it's going to come down to, like, the goalies, I think. Like, who's going to stop these shots? Who can stop Charlotte North? Who can stop Izzy Skane? Like, and if Taylor Marino is able to do that, like, she wins the Towaratown, I think.
It's, you know, I received a couple tweets on this, and I think because I am such a big, as I said, hashtag Lizzie Colson fangirl, I'm going to go to bat why, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, well, she's not as good as, you know, she's not as good as Emma Trenchard. And, you know, I think that that is comparing apples to oranges. Just because they play defense doesn't mean they have to be the same player. Katie Hogue and Jamie Ortega are not the same player. Emily Harrischuk and Charlotte North are not the same player. And I think that defenders, looking at you, Rachel, a lot of love for what you and your group of last line of defenders do. They're also different and versatile. You know, I think in a 1v1 matchup, Emma Trenchard looked like she would, like, eat me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I would definitely crumble. But Lizzie Colson, her ability, what she does off ball, I mean, her game awareness, her game sense, she was picking off passes left and right against Duke. And it's against a defender that is circled, underscored, bolded on a scouting report. Be careful when you pass the ball around her. She picks off passes. And she causes five turnovers. You know, I think that she's a defender. I think that some people, when we're looking at some of the comments, I don't know why I feel like I need to go to bat and support her. But, you know, I think everyone's like, oh, I get these four, but this. I'm like, no. Like, she is so deserving. And then another player that, again, it's like, I can't even say confidently, like, who do you take out? I wish there could be six Towaratown finalists, because I think arguably she could win it. Katie Hogue, you know, I think almost because of, and I, because of the fact we haven't seen the Skein train play any of these other players, and there's still so much left to be unsaid, the fact that you have a player who has written her way into the history book, she ranks second in NCAA history in career assists with 227 assists. She was on fire, made the difference for North Carolina in the second round. The fact that she'll never have been a Georgetown finalist is just, like, mind-blowing to me. Mic drop. I think that's all I have to say. Alyssa, bring us home.
Yeah, I mean, I think not to take anything away, I completely agree. When I didn't see Katie Hogue's name on the list, I was like, ooh, like, that's a huge surprise for me. Just because, you know, I think when I at least think about the Twarton Award, I think about, like, everything that this player does for the team. So Katie Hogue is not just a scorer. She's not just a passer. She's the quarterback of the offense, the pulse of the Carolina offense. And so, you know, that is a surprise for me. And I agree with you on Colson. You know, I was actually surprised to see her name on the list, you know, being a team that was going into the postseason at 9-6, not a top eight seed, you know, I was like, oh, interesting, like, not to take, she is unbelievable. But then it's like she goes out and has this insane game, and it basically, you know, including me, shuts everyone up, where it's like, all right, you know, her team may have not had a great year, but she certainly did. And so kind of proves the, you know, she basically proved us all, we're all eating crow now, as Rachel said, where it's like, you know, any doubters.
You'll have to explain it now.
Just saying, I don't know what it means either.
Oh, I just copied
it.
Her.
Up, but it feels appropriate. Yeah, well, eat crow, like you're like apologizing for what you were wrong with.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Like Lizzie Colson, like she's like to me, if Maryland was having a Maryland year, like she actually wins the tour.
Right.
But like them not getting past the quarters, I think
she becomes Rachel 2.0.
Right.
So, I mean, she's better than I am, but she, it's like you said it, Alyssa, like it's the impact that you have on your team in the game. And that's like her interceptions. And like everybody knows it's coming. Like you said, like she's not a secret. Like she's not a best kept secret anymore. Like she is Lizzie Colson. And like you'll like every ground ball you look and like she's somehow in the shuffle. And you're just like, how did you get there? And you can tell she's the type of player that like lifts her team around her. So I don't know. They've got a really hard job.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, just the way it was such a heartbreaker to see the way that her college career ended, but like just the entire like comeback and run and everything, like she's just such a spark. And so, you know, I, including myself, and I will say, I'm like, you know, how does a 9-6 team get a Twarton finalist? But by having a Lizzie Colson, like that's how.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
Alyssa,
it's crazy.
What about, sorry to interrupt, a question I have before we move on to the next one, I open this up to both of you. If Northwestern wins, does Izzy Skein win the Twarton?
Does it
have to take a Northwestern championship for her to win? Which is crazy, she's the leading scorer in the country right now.
I am going to say yes. And I say that because I think just the performance of the ACC teams this weekend kind of shows, you know, there were six teams in the ACC in the tournament and five of them advanced. Only six of them didn't advance because an ACC team knocked out the other one. So I think that just proves the absolute strength of the ACC this year, and not to take anything away from Izzy Skein, but she has been playing against, you know, teams that are proven to not be as strong just based off of what this weekend showed us. And, you know, that's out of her control. It's out of everyone's control, but it's the way that this year is. And so, you know, not being able to see that head-to-head performance where, you know, she's putting up, you know, eight goals against Notre Dame in the regular season, eight goals against UNC, Syracuse, Louisville, everyone in the ACC, where she can be, prove and be like, hey, I can do this against not just the Big Ten teams, but anyone. So I think that's to her disadvantage. But if they win the national championship, then I think she's probably the favorite.
I say yes to that too. I think you nailed it, Alyssa. like for you, for Northwestern to win, she will have to continue to be dominant, like put up 8 points in the championship weekend of each game, right? So I think if she's able to do that against UNC, if UNC gets there against possibly Syracuse, if they get there, like she will have had to have career days on the biggest stage. And if she's able to help her team pull out a win, I think she gets it to our team. Yeah.
So talking about Izzy and the steam train, Northwestern this weekend, Boston College this weekend, North Carolina, Syracuse, they are playing host. Some of these games are happening. They will be happening at the same time again. We looked at, you know, look at the schedules. Granted, things could change, but, you know, it looks like Syracuse, they're playing in the SC Soccer Stadium, 2 p.m. Boston College, they will be playing host to Notre Dame at 3 p.m. And you shift gears out to Northwestern. Their game looks like it's scheduled for noon. And then down at North Carolina, they have a noon start as well. Obviously, Northwestern different time zone, but a lot of these action will be taking place at the same time. Alyssa, that was a bummer. You and I were texting actually Rachel, who is on the sideline of her son's, what was it, baseball? Or
I mean, I had a t-ball game and then a lacrosse game. I missed all of the games
because they're all having.
I was gone for 2 hours. I missed them all, so I was like, send me updates. What's happening? And, it's really tough.
It was hard. I feel like I had like whiplash. I was like, and it's so funny. I'm watching with my toddler and I'm changing the channel and she's like, uh-oh. I'm like, you're right. Uh-oh. Like this shouldn't be happening, Dempsey. You're so smart. It was tough. And I don't, you know, I think we talk about this every year, but Alyssa, Rachel, we were talking before we hopped on, you know, ESPN has done a fantastic job broadcasting a lot of these games this year. You know, I think that having the women involved in the selection show was great. There's so much work to still be done to get our game forward. I am at the NCAA level, whether it's ESPN, the university level, I just wish there was a way that all four of these quarterfinals, if you wanted to, you could watch them without having to have multiple screens going at the same time. I don't know what the answer is to that. I just wish that were a possibility right now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we don't know in terms of NCAA all that goes into it, but what I do know is what I've seen with my eyes, which is the women's basketball tournament be far less equipped and unequal to the men's. And then we saw it again with volleyball, and it feels like lacrosse now, the NCAA, you know, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes, if they're trying to make it better or not, but like NCAA, this is now the third women's tournament season where it feels like you've put them on a lower level and don't value the women as collegiate athletes. So we obviously don't have all the information, but as former players and women who want to support the game, it makes it really difficult when the NCAA schedules things at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I literally don't have enough screens in my house to watch it. Last week I was just like, every time I changed the channel, someone would text me about the game. I literally just turned off. I'm like, dang it. Like, I've got to go back. Like, so it just feels like you're constantly missing something. And, you know, it's just a bummer it's what, Tuesday. It's not too late to get this fixed, right? Like, hopefully we can, you know, make the adjustment. I'm sure all of the other team, like every team that's in it would appreciate it too, because they want to be watched. They don't want to have someone feel like they can only watch the first half because they're really, you know, they're a BC fan, but they want to watch a game prior to that or whatever or after. And so they want to have full attention, all eyes on them. And, you know, it's huge for the sport to be able to give the teams and the women that platform. So, you know, it's not too late. It's Tuesday. You know, we've got plenty of time. And, you know, you just see it on the men's side. Their games are spread out over 2 days this past weekend, and you know, no crossover. The highlight, everything was on that game that was on at that current moment. And you know, it's easier said than done. I think Hallie, you said it, where it's like, we don't know all that goes into it. There's likely more than just what we all are thinking, but if it, like, there has to be some solution to, you know, make it easier.
And it's you know, Liz Robertshaw, I admire her for what she does for this game. She's the executive director of the IWLCA right now. You know, she's been very vocal about it on social media, and she tweeted something, you know, it's important for coaches who are competing in the NCAA quarterfinals to voice this to their administration and the NCAA. They have the power to make it happen. Of course, she was referring to trying to, you know, get their games at separate times for the quarterfinals. She also referenced, you know, we as a sport, we are trying to show that our viewership is strong, that the attention is there. And it's hard to do that when women's lacrosse fans that want to tune in to second round action have to tune into 8 different games going on at the same time. You know, and I loved, you know, Joe Spallina, and this really just full circle comes. He said, you know, he was watching a men's game and his daughter was watching, and his daughter asked, Dad, why don't the women do it like this? Like, why can't we watch all the women's games? And he's like, you know, that's all I needed to hear. You know, Alexa, you're 100% right. And he said, I certainly have enough to worry about it with UNC this weekend, but, you know, the women deserve better and I'm here for it. So it is, it's nice. You know, you see Taylor Cummings, you know, Kayla Trainer has been tweeting about it. You know, you see leaders, and we're discussing it, but I love when you look on Twitter and you look on social media and you see leaders in our sport helping to push it forward when they don't have to, right? Like, there's a lot going on for Liz this time of year, Joe this time of year. Kayla, you know, she's prepping her team for the quarterfinals. Taylor's coaching her high school team, and she's advocating for, you know, equality and equity. And it's just, it's disappointing when you see things like that, but it's also very encouraging when you see leaders in your sport voicing their opinion and taking a stand for what they believe is right.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, and something that's so special about the lacrosse world is just how, you know, wins and losses aside, you know, we're all super competitive, but at the end of the day, it's like you can put all that aside because we all want what's best for the sport. And, you know, I think that's because we are still relatively a small sport in comparison to others across the country. It's still just, you know, that family, you know, tight knit community that just wants what's best and wants to grow and wants to share it with the country and with everyone who's watching and get more people involved, because there's something so special about lacrosse. And, you know, that is just part of the community. You know, every time you find a connection within the lacrosse world, it just reminds you how small it, that everything's like 1 degree of separation. Someone knows someone that you know, and similar, you know, people in your circle. And so it's just something that's so special. And it's like, why not want to try and grow that and do everything you can to share that special community with everyone around you? And so to have that opportunity to have that chance is just so important.
I agree with everything you both said. I think the co-selection show was like a huge step in the right direction. I loved seeing Sheehan out there doing her thing. And like, shout out to Sheehan for doing the men's games this weekend. Like, let us see more of that. She did so great. So I think, like, she's amazing, right? Like, we've heard her call women's games for 20 years, 15, I guess. Sorry, Sheehan, I don't want to date you. But, like, she was on, her and Jay are just, like, a great duo. And I think they did an incredible job. And I, like, hope that we get to see more of her doing that, because I think she was awesome. And I think, like, we're definitely moving in the right direction in terms of coverage. And I think that everybody's trying to do the best they can. And like, it is tough. But I want to shout out Sheehan, who I think by crossing over into the men's game is going to create more opportunity on the women's side for sure.
Oh yeah. That's so awesome.
Oh my gosh. Hail Sheehan. I was so excited that she was calling that game. Actually, a coworker of mine, Megan Clothier, who used to work at IL, texted. She's like, I think it's so awesome that Sheehan's calling the men's game. Of course. I mean, she's been watching lacrosse her entire life. She's watched her brothers come up through the sport. Why wouldn't she be able to call a men's game? I was here for it. Love to see it.
Same. And she did a great job.
It's well, as always, thank you so much to everyone for tuning in to just listening to us chat and talk and have fun on, you know, a Tuesday morning. And we will be back next week. We can't wait to see the action. Make sure that you are following along, and we will see you here, or, well, you'll listen to us here. Same time, same place next week. Bye.
Bye.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.